Media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Saturday, and Saturday in Chicago represents St. Patty's Day. We have the parade here, and I'm your host for tonight, Deanne Burley, and we're with my program, brand new program to RBN, Late Night with Deanne, and we have some really remarkable women on tonight, our guests. I wanted to kind of mention and talk about my first guest. She's a wonderful woman. I had the opportunity to talk to her a few times. She's the mother of David Koresh. And February 28th marks the calendar date when this 51-day siege began. It was a nightmare. It was a horror to see women, children killed. And the only thing I can say to her is that, I just pray that this never happens here in the United States again. And I just pray for her and her family because they had great loss. At one point, she lived at the Camp Davidian, from what I understood, and I'm going to ask her more about that. But, I really appreciate her coming on, and we have David Koresh's mother online now. Bonnie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Bonnie. How are you doing?
Hi, good evening, Leanne.
Yeah, sorry it's so late there where you are. But I was wondering, can you tell the listeners just what it was in in Camp Davidian, you saw on the time just before all this happened. You were living there, correct, at one point?
I hadn't lived in there. I did live there at one time. I lived there in 91. So the ATF raided the home there at Mount Carmel at February 28, 1993. So I had been gone for a couple of years, but I did go back and visit. I had grandchildren there and friends and, of course, my son, family there. But I had lived there for several years.
And it was just a people that came together, women and children, men, like, just coming together under religion. And it wasn't. It was a peaceful union, was it not?
Yes, ma'am.
And what did you see that would have led to this? Did you see anything that gave you an inkling that this would later on occur, or this was just beyond your belief?
No, I never had any inkling like anything like that would happen. It was really asinine, really, why it happened, the excuses that were made. And people had lived there on that hill, Mount Carmel, for years and had been good citizens in the community and, you know, God-fearing people living there and worked in town with the school and everything. And so, but few times I'd visited before that happened, I was told that something was going to be happening because they knew that there was, they had a suspicion that the people, the men living across the street in the house were not who they said they were. They came there saying they were students, but they knew better. So I think they had, the ones that were living there at that time had an inkling that something was going to be happening. They just didn't know what.
So basically, the camp had been infiltrated by agents.
Yes, ma'am. There was a group of, I don't know exactly how many, that trained at Fort Hood, some probably 40, 50 miles away for 3 weeks to come on Mount Carmel, supposedly to serve a search warrant or serve a warrant because they had heard that there was weapons there, and there was weapons there. They, David and some of the men there bought them and resold them for, to help make money for the, you know, for expenses and things. Also, they would go to gun shows, and they had a sewing factory there. They made hunting vests and all kind of things that people would use for hunting, and they would take them to the gun shows and sell them. And, so, but that was the excuse the ATF used. They, that they had heard that there was guns there.
And they were, and the thing, it was amazing that, you know, they used the excuse of a situation, a child abuse issue, which was non-existent. And
that's true.
To go in and forage in and, you know, kill women and children under the, synopsis of, you know, acting as a, you know, child welfare agency. And this was outrageous. And I know it's quite late where you are. And I really,
it's just 10:15.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to, you know, pull you from, you know, anything. But the issue is that your son, David, was working on a piece that was really interested in, which was the Seven Seals. Did you have any information on that, or did you know anything about the Seven Seals that he was involved in?
Well, I knew that he was, or I heard on, you know, the news that he had been working on decoding the book, The Seven Seals. And he had, after they had raided Mount Carmel and wanted him to come out, he said he would after he had had them written down. And so he, the night before the raid, or 2 nights before the raid, he had been working on that and had one, the first one finished, which took the longest. And Ruth Ottman Riddle, one of the ladies that came out of the fire, happened to have that disc with her. So that was published, the first sale. But that was his main object, to get that done. So he would have probably took him about 2 weeks maybe to finish the rest of them. And then they had promised Dick DeGaren, the attorney, that they would come out.
And I've been hearing, you know, weird stories, you know, about not only the gun sales. They were saying that he was involved with trafficking Israeli drugs, everything you can think of.
I never heard that.
Yeah, that's a new one. Yeah, that's a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, they're trying to say those things, but, you know, the thing was, it was a religious camp. And the thing that's frightening is that, you know, that type of thing possibly can happen now. Do you see anything possibly happening in, you know, any type of religion again today, similar to that, you know, where a government could come in and attack it and, you know, kill women and children? What is your opinion of that? Do you think something like Camp Davidian can happen in 2006?
Well, I don't have any inkling of anything like that happening, but I didn't then either. You know, there was Randy Weaver a year or so before that, but, you know, I don't try to predict the future. You know, anything could happen anywhere, but I don't have any inkling of anything like that happening.
And why was there were some men and women that are still incarcerated after that, and I was wondering why they're still locked up. There were, you know, individuals that were there and were carted away, and they're still, you know, in penitentiary. I was wondering.
Well, as a matter of fact, there were some men that came out of the fire that happened to get out of the building, and the jury, as a matter of fact, most of them spent a year in jail, and the jury found them not guilty of anything. And they were still sentenced to, some of them, 40, 45 years in prison. Well, they went to the Supreme Court, and the sentences were reduced, most of them, to about 15 years. And just in the last few months, several of the young men have been released from prison, and they are still on parole, though. There are, I think, three or four still in prison, but they are from different countries, so they can't get out early. So when they do get out, they'll have to go back to where they're from. One from Australia, I think there's a couple from England, and yes, there was, I'm thinking, eight or nine of them that went to jail. I think two of them came out after a year in jail that was not charged with any charges.
And when the siege happened, you were trying to get David to leave the compound, I remember. He refused. Why do you think he stayed? Why didn't you think he didn't leave with his family at the time?
I never talked to David after after that happened. I never got to talk to David.
So you were never allowed to call in or to speak to him or anything?
No, well, I mean, the phones were cut. He had called me and left a message on my answering machine. I think it was February the 28th that afternoon. But I never personally got to talk to him. The phone lines were cut off, and they would not let me in to talk to him. So, no, I never get to talk to him. But he was doing what he felt like was right, and he felt he did what God told him to do. So, you know,
now they have another Camp Davidian there. Is it built in the same area? Where is it? I heard that there is another area where there's Davidian people. Located there in Texas.
Well, there's Branch Davidian people all over still. There's California. They weren't part of us. The Branch Davidians used to be quite a large group.
We're going to have to stop for a commercial, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Hi, it's Deanne with the Late Night with Deanne Burley Show, live on RBN Radio. And we're here with our guest tonight, whose son happened to be David Koresh, a hero, a patriot, I would say. Her name is Bonnie. And Bonnie, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I'm very sorry. The line was cutting out, and I'm on another line right now. I hope you can hear me better.
I think I can. Yeah, I was having a little problem a while ago understanding you.
Yeah, now we're okay. But let me ask you about David Koresh's movement and group. You were saying it was not only in that one area. It was in California. And what other states?
Well, what I was trying to say was that there are groups of Branch Davidians. There's still some in Waco. There is, from what I hear, there's some scattered around all over the country, but they weren't necessarily part of our group. Years ago, there was quite a large group, and they went, you know, in different directions. So I couldn't really tell you exactly right now where they are.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry about that. But the whole issue is that we are, you know, at the you know, beginning of that siege, and you were not there. But you said you had grandchildren. Did any of them make it out of the camp at all, or no?
No, ma'am.
So, and David's wife, she perished as well. And
yes, ma'am.
And there were a number of children there that were both African American and
there was yes, there were Spanish children, African American. There were English. Well, some of the children did come out. None of David's children, but there were some, a few that had come out before the fire, between the siege and the fire.
Uh-huh.
And but none of David's biological children come out. But there was quite a different mixture of nationalities there at Mount Carmel at that time.
That was a horrible situation. Now, is there any one thing that you want to say to the listeners here? If there's something that you want to, you know, relay to
them? Well, I'm very proud of David. You know, he stood up for his beliefs, and there wasn't anything going on there that was illegal or anything. They were just most people had come from all over to study God's word, as we understand it, and study the scriptures. And there was quite a few people. I mean, they had been in theology school and ministers and. And all, you know, things like that. And they were there because they believed how David opened up the scriptures, and then God had given him the ability to do that. For whatever reason, this all happened. You know, God allowed it to happen for a reason. I'm comforted that I will see all my friends and family again someday. Now, you know, this, but the truth will be known eventually, what happened there.
I think it's pretty close now that people realize what happened there and understand that there was more than meets the eye, and it was
mm-hmm.
not a situation
mm-hmm.
of the fact that they were saying that there were, you know, abuse and guns and all these other things. It
well, the fact is Judge, Sheriff Harwell had been out there many times, you know, and a couple of times people had reported there had been people out there, Child Protective Services, you know, and checked on the kids. They never found anything wrong. And matter of fact, after the fire, Jack Harwell, the sheriff, he come up to me and he apologized deeply to me. He said, you know, if they would have let me handle this and come out to serve the warrant, none of this would have happened. But of course, that wasn't the way it was meant to be. And they didn't consult, you know, they didn't consult the local authorities. And they all knew that David would go jogging every day and go to town and everything. So there was, if they wanted him, there wasn't any reason for them to go in there and cattle trucks and things and make a raid on that church like they did.
Did you ever hear anything about the involvement of either Hillary Clinton or Bruce or Vince Foster in the siege? I've been pulling up documents that have been declassified that seem to point that they also were involved with the siege on Waco.
I have never heard that. I haven't ever heard that.
You haven't?
But yes, I've never heard that. I don't think Clinton had even been in the office very long. But, you know, I don't know. But I've never heard anything about Hillary and or that other person being involved, no.
Well, Bonnie, I thank you very much for coming on my program, and I wish you and your family the best, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
You're welcome.
Okay?
Good.
All right, and you have a very good evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And that was a call we had in from David Koresh's mother on the anniversary of Waco. And we will be returning to our show on RVN Live with Late Night with Deanne after this station break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Be- because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all... They're criminals.
They're criminals?
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Hi, welcome back, and it's Deanne. Deanne Burley with Deanne Burley Live on RBN Radio. Our next guest, we're going to talk about something that's in the news currently. And we have to realize the importance of how this all ties in back to the White House. We're going to look into Halliburton. Halliburton's subsidiary is KBR. It got $12 billion worth of exclusive contracts for work in Iraq. During this time that this happened, our current guest, who is Bunny Greenhouse, she's a former U.S. Army Corps of Engineers officer. She blew the whistle on Dick Cheney as links to companies that were profiting from war. Bonnie, are you there?
Yes, how are you, and thanks for inviting me.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah, okay. Bunny, I'm sorry, but you were working as the highest-ranking civilian in the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers when you started seeing things. Is that not correct?
Well, that is true. I was the principal assistant responsible for contracting. For the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and I was responsible for the management and oversight for the award of some $23 billion in contracts.
Now, while you were there, you started seeing some questionable transactions in regards to Halliburton And yes. its subsidiary, which is KBR, which is formerly known as Kellogg, Brown, and Root.
Right, absolutely. When I saw during the military operations in Bosnia that the dollars were moving repeatedly without competitive bidding and suspiciously high amounts to one company, and I challenged those contracts, and many times my protests were ignored by the Army brass.
Now, what year was this that you started seeing this?
Pardon me?
When did you start seeing this? What year?
It was in 2001.
Uh-huh.
Starting in 2001. And then when the same company began getting huge non-competitive contracts during the buildup of the Iraq war, I again challenged and found myself actually being removed from the decision-making.
Now, the accounts that you're talking about, the contracts, were roughly totaling close to $10.8 billion. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. The initial contract was for $7 billion restoring of the Iraqi oil fields if they had been insurgents, and that was a no-bid contract that I did not feel needed to be a no-bid contract in that sense, and it did not need to be certainly for 5 years, starting with a 2-year base and 3 1-year options. Contracting people were fully capable there were insurgency to make sure that we did the right thing for the right reasons, and to have a contract as a bridge for 5 years did not make sense to me.
Now, when you did you notice that there were ties into Vice President Dick Cheney?
I have to say that when I'm looking at contracting, politics doesn't enter into that in the procurement. I simply am looking at what it is that is doing going on within the process and whether it is within the compliance of the law.
And
so
there
was nothing in my mind at that time of tying a company to the administration or to Vice President Cheney.
So the only thing you really saw was a large amount of contracts for this war going towards both Halliburton and KBR.
Well, that is correct. And it just happened to. I had no target or focus on Halliburton or whatever, but I had a target on making sure that the contracting process was in accordance with the law, whereas federal law tells us that all government business must be conducted in a manner that's impartial, non-preferential, and above reproach. And I'm just a public servant, and I take that directive seriously.
Now, when these contracts were coming in, there were also bids from either big or large companies, small companies for the same project. Now, what was it that was being said of why those companies were not being allowed in the bid process?
Well, and that was part of the justification and my reservations because the no-bid contracts that I felt that were being awarded to Halliburton in this ramp-up of the war, they were immorally exclusionary and contrary to the guidelines at every level of our business.
Now, the question is coming up now for the last, I say, close to a year. There's issues of the fact that they're finding that these contracts were overstated in invoices. They're finding that the invoices for these contracts were overstated up to close to $1 billion or more. And there has been controversy over it, but there has been no repayment by Halliburton back.
Well, that was one of the big issues that I had was the waiver of the cost and pricing data. That is where a contractor has to validate the reasonableness and document his cost. It wasn't up to it was $61 million, really, as you're saying on the as far as the fuel oil is concerned. And there were other costs, but the one that I had referenced to was the waiver of that cost and pricing data that was signed by General Flowers, I felt, inappropriately and without the government taking over the responsibility from the contractor that the government was going to prove reasonableness.
Now, the issue that people need to understand, too, in looking at this, during that time, during the Iraqi war, there was a issuance of help, a need from the military personnel itself in Iraq, young men and women, that they didn't have the proper armory to wear. They didn't have laptops to communicate back to base. They didn't have food. They didn't have water. And then they ended up having to ask their family to send this in. Now, because of the fact that this billing had been overstated by Halliburton, I would feel, and I personally allege, that this has caused a misjustice to our military men and women.
Well,
is that not correct?
Yeah, it's right. As with Katrina or whatever, the victims, you know, are those people that are in those devastating situations. And that's why it is that contracting professionals must see that government contracting is held to the letter of the law, and that we are doing the best that we possibly can to manage in a cost reimbursement type of environment where the contract is getting all of its costs. We must manage that so that they stay within the lines of the rules of engagement.
Now, because you came out with these factors, you were basically knocked down from your government rank to GS-15. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. Because of my persistent efforts to go through the channels to try to stop the abuses, I earned a demotion in rank from the Senior Executive Service to a GS-15, a negative performance appraisal, removal completely from contracting, and an invitation to retire.
Now the whole issue, too, is the fact that this is major as far as the conflict of interest. You have people that have, ties in from the White House itself into big corporations that this has been going on for a long time, where Halliburton has been allowed no-bid contracts. And it came up again just recently, as you were stating, in New Orleans, when they were attempting to bring Halliburton in to clean up the devastation. Do you know anything about the issue down there in New Orleans?
Oh, it's a concern. I'm from Louisiana, so it's really a concern of mine that the same type of improper things are not going to go on in Louisiana. And there's already evidence that there have been some large no-bid contracts. We've got to get out of the mode of the sky is falling, you know, whenever there's an emergency and whenever there's a contingency. We've got to turn to the contracting people who have the level head, and they are trained with that kind of level head, you know, not the military, to run the contracting and to be able to bring best value to our government. We've got to think about right sizing of our projects and knowing that everything doesn't have to be into a bundle situation where it has to be a large business and it has to be a no-bid type of situation. And we've got to do advanced contracting for emergencies. We know that the potential is there, so why not have the contracts in place where you have ample time, you know, to be able to make sure that the contracts are in accordance with the laws that Congress has placed before us.
Now, this situation with the overstating of these invoices.
Yes.
Is there any chance that Halliburton will pay that back to the government?
Well, the latest news is that the Army has stated that they will not have to pay. So that they have held about $10 million of the disputed cost of the auditors. And that is somewhat of a dispute right now, you know, that's in the world. But I was mainly concerned about the waiver of that $61 million of cost and price and data. Those are cost accounting standards that is the only teeth that we have to make sure that contractors do not overcharge us when we do have to pay them all of their costs that they incur.
Now, when you brought this information up to your supervisors there, how were you greeted? What was their analysis of this? Were you completely, you know, pushed out of the process in the beginning, or did they ease you away?
Well, I was just considered a stickler for the rules, and that this is a contingency environment, and this is a war, you know, that is coming up. Surely, we all of us who are leaders in the business of contracting, as well as you know, in the top leadership of the federal government, we have the same urgency, you know, about matters as the military or anyone else. And we have to be respected for the fact that we have the business acumen to be able to make sure that government gets best value in all of this. So when the requirement comes up, the military should turn it over to the contracting people and let them use the expertise that Congress has paid millions of dollars to make sure that they are professionals in.
Now,
that's where the confusion comes in, where the contracting folks then are under intimidation or duress, you know, by their military commanders to actually conduct the business in a way different from what the laws specify. And it's not necessary.
And you've been working now with the National Whistleblowers Center. They are have put a fund together, in fact, and I encourage our listeners to please help Ms. Greenhouse in her fight in regards to getting her job reinstated. And it's costly, and the litigation, and she needs your assistance. And Bonnie, is there a website or any information you can give our listeners on the National Whistleblower Center?
Well, I think you've said that it's a part of the National Whistleblower Center, and on their website is where they have listed my defense fund.
Uh-huh.
And as a federal employee, I don't directly have anything to do with that fund. I know who's contributing to that fund. But it certainly is appreciated, you know, so that the chill that has been placed over the senior executive service and the contracting people, you know, where now they feel that if they do their job to be able to rule out the type of abuses that's going on, that they will be fired.
Now, as an officer in the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, you were involved mainly with the bridges, dams, and highways. Is that correct for
all of civil works, operations, all of engineering and construction?
Now, the issue of the dams down in New Orleans, can you kind of tell me, were you involved in any kind of way with overseeing the contracts that were to rebuild those dams?
No, since the Katrina?
Yes.
I was removed from contracting actually just 19 hours before the emergency was declared, and about 24 hours before the dams broke.
That's so, very odd, isn't it?
So that really is one thing that really pains me,
uh-huh.
You know, in all of this, is that the contracting at the Corps was just simply left leaderless, you know, at a time when they needed the kind of leadership that I was providing to them most.
So,
lack of judgment and contract abuse and so on, and people feeling that the sky is falling, you know, without having level heads on, you know, that was absolutely unnecessary.
So who was heading up that? Was there anyone overseeing any of the contracts or anything going on at the time you were relieved? Or
well, when I was relieved, they placed a colonel, a military, you know, in charge of the contracting at the Corps.
Okay, and at this point, Halliburton was is currently not involved in the process down there in New Orleans. Is that correct?
I cannot say that. I know they were initially involved,
uh-huh.
You know, with a contract from the Corps, but I don't know as to their involvement, you know, at this time. And I must say that I'm obligated to tell you that I do not speak on behalf of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers,
uh-huh.
Neither the U.S. Army or the Department of Defense. I'm really speaking in my own personal capacity. And just as someone who's deeply committed to the integrity in government procurement, and I just want to express the fact that I firmly believe that integrity in government is not an option. It's really an obligation, you know, for all of us.
Now, have you, you've told me when I had talked to you prior to you coming on the air that you were down in New Orleans.
Oh, yes, I was.
And what did you see down there?
I tell you, the news absolutely pales of what had happened in New Orleans. I felt that I was driving through a war zone. I had gone down to speak to the Baton Rouge, Louisiana League of Women's Voters. And they carried me on a windshield tour, and it was absolutely devastating.
Bonnie, we're going to stop for a break. I want to talk to you off the air for a second.
Okay.
We have Bunny Greenhouse on the air on RBN Radio, a late night with Deanne show, and we will continue with this discussion after this station break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Girl. Well, we're back, and this is Late Night with Deanne on RBN Live Radio. We're going to talk further with our guest. I just want to say to you, you listeners, if you want to get in contact with me, please do so at my blogger, which is deanneburley.blogspot.com, or you can go to who my guests have been so far, at Deanne's Guest, .co.nr, or you can call me at 847-594-1620. Again, 847-594-1620. You can get to me personally if you have any comments, any ideas for shows, please call me. Also, we're taking live calls on this program right now. Please call in to 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And we're going back to our guest, a wonderful woman. She's African-American. She happens to be one of the most highest-ranking civilians that ever hit the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And she has a remarkable story to tell of her fight with making sure that our government stays with integrity. And I'm going to welcome back Ms. Greenhouse. Ms. Greenhouse, are you there?
Yes, thank you.
Now, I wanted to ask you again on this. Now, since you came in to this this Army Corps of Engineers, you were, I guess you were one of the few females holding a rank that high, correct?
I was the first African-American female to have become a senior executive with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Wow, that's wonderful. And when you were there in the beginning, everything was, I would imagine, great. You saw a great potential, great job.
Right. I had a great commander who had a great vision as to how to revolutionize contracting in the Corps. And he had already, for a year before my coming, had witnessed a casual and a kind of clubby contracting practices throughout the Corps. And that was one of the major missions that he gave me, was to revolutionize contracting and get it to a level playing field, a level of fairness, a level of the highest degree of integrity.
But then things started turning around. Now, was it because others got involved in this process, or what happened exactly?
Well, the commander who hired me left, and a commander came in who was General Flowers at the time, and he had different agendas, and one of those agendas was that Bunny Greenhouse had to be removed.
So he, when he came in, he was targeting you, you feel?
It was obvious, you know, that was, that he did not have my best interest. I was not his person that should have been doing this.
We're going to stop again for a break, and we're going to commercial on Late Night with Deanne on RBN Radio Live. And Bonnie, just hang on there. We'll be right back.
Too many things have I said to say.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to
Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.